This point in time, we shall turn our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. So, Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Actually, let's start from 5. Better even go further. Okay, I'll start from 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, and then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So 4 to 6.
Imwena mone vyo na ina chitile kuwe na Egypto, nefyo na musendele pama pindo ya kwa kapumpe, no kumuleta kuri ine, eicho nomba okumfwa nga mwakula mfwe shuwiri andi, no kubake chipope chandi, minshi mwakula va kuri ine, ichi kwatwa icha ivela, mubantu na bantu bonse, pantu ichalo chonse chandi, na imwe mwakula va kuri ine, ubufumu bwaba shimapepo, kabili uluko lwa mushiro.
Shall we just pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity to be found, Lord, in your holy presence, Lord. What a blessing that it is, Lord. Thank you. Indeed, O Lord, for the gift of life that you've given us. Thank you also for every brother and every sister here. We have come to fulfill all righteousness, Lord, according to thine word, which tells us, Lord, not to stop the manner of coming together. We have gathered here, Lord, also believing that where two or three are gathered, in thy name, you are there in their midst. And we believe, Lord, you are with us, even as you have already started with us, O Lord, in this gathering, Lord. We want to commit, Lord, the ministration of the word of God into your holy hands, Lord. It shall be a blessing. It shall bring glory to thy name. I surrender my mind, Lord, unto thee as I stand here, Lord. You shall give me inspiration, Lord, and anointing, Lord, to speak thine word. My brother also, interpreting, Lord, you shall anoint him, O Father, that we can labor together in ministration without any distractions. And the ears that are hearing shall anoint them also. Father, together we may glorify your holy name, Lord. Help us to overcome and to be fruitful believers as we are preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We may be seated. Praise be to the Lord. Yes, so we shall continue encouraging one another in the word of the Lord. He is a wonderful God who loves us so very much. Yeah, so this morning, yeah, I want to continue with the thought that we had started some time back. Yeah, as we are looking at the subject, royal priesthood. So we are going to continue there. And we can take up some continue the series. Okay, so let's also read 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 9. Are we there? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Where there we say amen. Are we there?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'll read it in English, then the brother can also read in Bemba. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Praise the Lord. So, brother, you can read from verse 9 up to verse 12.
Uruko lwa mshilo abantu abo ayikwatira kukuleka balondolole fya bulumba fya mutire ukuti mufume mumfimfi muingire mulubuto lwakwe ulwa pesha mano mwela shali bantu lelo nomba muli bantu bakwe bakwalesa mweva shali abavele lwoluse lelo nomba mwavele lwoluse mweva temwikwa nde mpapata pakuti muli vene kabili abaleveshi mutalukeko kufya lungumbwa lwa mubili ipirwa nomutima mwende wino mubena vyalo ukuti umo bamubonderera kwati muli nchitatube vachindikeleza muushiku wa chipembu pakulolesha milimo yenu isuma.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, he's doing wonderful reading today. Keep it up. God bless you. Amen. So, we last time had started looking at the royal priesthood. Yes. So, we saw the combination that there was a royal there that was standing for kingship. Then there's also priesthood. So we have been called as royal priesthood. Okay, and we see the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, I think verse 6.
Sokololo chapter 1, wapakuberenga pa 6.
Also agrees with that.
Nayena ile sumishana nechi.
The Bible reads, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6.
No kutusangula ufumu wabashima bepo kulilesa wakwe kabili uishi. Kuli wene kube ubukata na ubukata na ubukateka umuyayaya umuyayaya.
Praise the Lord. And he has made us kings.
Atupanga ukuba
infumu. And priests unto God. And his Father, to him be glory. And dominion forever and ever. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, we go back to Exodus. We just refresh a bit, then we can start building on that. So from verse 4, we saw what he was saying to the children of Israel, that ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Israel, that was a chosen nation of God. So, we know that at some point they were in bondage. They were in slavery in the land of Egypt. They were suffering in there. But God heard their cry. At an appointed time, he had to deliver them. So he's reminding them, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because that eaglet on its mother's wings is very comfortable. It's very safe. It cannot even fear anything. It is comfortable. No, even during the process of training, remember what happens when an eaglet is being taught how to fly. It will be carried by, carried, then it will be thrown there in the air. Yeah, then you to start like falling down, but then the parent comes, spreads the wing, bear it on the wing. It doesn't hit the ground. It is comfortable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, though we know that sometimes it may not feel good. When it was quite very small, it was enjoying life in the nest. Okay, the mother, maybe the father also brings meat there, food. But the wings at some point start growing. It also starts growing. When it is growing, there's a time that it shouldn't be in the comfortable zone in the nest. That's why the nest is designed in a special way where there are also thorns that are put there. So that At a certain point in time, when those nice, comfortable things are removed there, then it won't be comfortable to stay in that nest to be pricked. It means it is growing. So there's time for everything. There's a time when that egret should be enjoying the comfort in the nest. Waiting for the meat to be brought in the nest. But that, as time goes by, it has to grow. When it grows, it's not the mother ego, the father ego of bringing the meat to that ego, because it is now of age. It needs to know how to fly, but the training may not appear to be pleasant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that mother takes that ego up there. Leave it. Feels like falling on the ground. But then the parent comes, spreads the wing, and save it from falling to the ground. In the process, it is trained how to fly. Then it can survive on its own. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then it may look at its father ego, it may look at its mother ego, not to be good sometimes. Why have they removed me from the nest? I was so comfortable there. Why has they removed that soft stuff which was in the nest? Why leaving the thorns to be pricking me now? I'm in pain. Well, that was the process to remind it that it has now grown. There are wings that have come out. Those wings are not for nothing. The wings that have come out, they are for the purpose of flying. So they need to be used for flying, not just to sit in the net there. So it has to undergo a training process, which may not appear to be very pleasant. But in the process, this character that is built, it learns how to fly. It now stops fearing. It can trust the wings because it's able to fly. But in that nest, if it stayed too long in the nest without trying the wings, whether they can fly, it may not even attempt to fly. It may not know the capability that it has. But sometimes it takes that parent ego to shake the nest, so that that egret can realize what it is, the potential that it has, and begins to use what it has for the purpose that it should use that substance for. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are the egrets. God is the parent ego. We are growing in the faith. There are stages in Christianity. There are times where things can just be comfortable. Everything seems to be comfortable. But sometimes when we are growing, God wants to pass through certain tests, so that the talents that we have, the potential that we have, can be put into action or can be utilized. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So sometimes you will shake the nest where you are too comfortable. You will shake the nest. Yeah, if you are not careful, you may think, but why has God left me? Is he with me?
Yeah.
Why am I passing through this circumstance? Why am I passing through this situation? Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he is there with us. He will not allow a temptation that is above our capability to overcome. Whatever you allow coming in our way, it means there is a way out for that. Hallelujah. When it gets too big, he has his wings which he is able to spread and bears on his wings. Even when the situation may seem to be very tense, we are comfortable.
Amen.
On the wings of the mother eagle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he was reminding them, have you seen what I did to the Egyptians? Because God punished the Egyptians and brought out the children of Israel. So he was reminding them, have you seen how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So he went to bring them out of bondage. So bringing them out of bondage, he was taking them somewhere. Where was he taking them? Saying he was taking them to himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So at one time we were lost. We were in bondage. We were bound in so many things, such as others are bound in many things this time. Others are bound in alcoholism, bound in drug addiction, bound in sexual immorality, bound in theft, bound in different evil things of this world. But God makes a way. It doesn't matter how sinful one can be. God makes a way. When one is willing, he makes a way so that one should come to himself. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, are we following?
Amen.
So it says, now, therefore, if you will obey. So there's an aspect of obedience. So God wants to deliver the people.
He
desires to bring people out of bondage. But the way God created man, he made man to be a free moral agent who can choose where to go. If he wants to go to the left, he'll go to the left. If he wants to go to the right, he can go to the right. If he wants to follow God, he can follow God. If he wants to follow Satan, he can follow Satan. He has been given a choice to choose which way to go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, there is a way if you are making a choice coming to God. Because God wants to bring us to himself. But for us to go to him, there is a pathway or a passage. There is a protocol that has to be followed. And we find this in his word. And thus we see here in verse 5, says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, so we need to obey the voice of God. We need to obey the word of God. And not only that, there's an and here, obeying his voice indeed, and keep my covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So obeying the voice of God, it hasn't ended there, but there's also keeping my covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the covenant has to be kept, meaning it has to be there all the time. It's an agreement. It has to be there all the time that you obey the word of God. Hallelujah. It's not just obeying once. Maybe you just come on a Sunday, you enter the church, then Monday, you are in the world. If you do that, you are doing the wrong thing. Because you need to obey the word of God, and it doesn't end there. You obey his voice and keep his covenant. So it's a covenant, it's his law, his word that you are keeping every day. You have to keep it. It's every day. Every day, you've got to be obeying the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then what follows after this? He says, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. Unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So if you do that, you obey the voice of God and keep his covenant, then there's this blessing that follows here. Says, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. Hallelujah. A treasure, something that is special. Something peculiar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Above all the people. Praise be to God.
Amen.
What a blessing it is. You becoming peculiar. A peculiar treasure of the Lord. It's a great blessing. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Then, promise continues. Says, and ye shall be unto me. It's God who's saying that. And ye shall be unto me, unto God, a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Praise be to God.
Amen.
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 So it is a blessing. So now maybe we just talk a little bit more about Egypt. So we see the children of Israel, they are coming from Egypt. And as we said, Egypt wasn't really a pleasant place. They were in slavery. When you are a slave, you are not free. So meaning they can abuse you. In other words, you have no rights. A slave has no rights.
They
will just tell you, do this, you do that, do this. It's nothing like, now I'm tired, you'll be punished. They were in bondage for so long a time. But the Lord heard their cry to deliver them. Now in the process, the badness of staying in Egypt for a long time, it has an impact in the thinking process, in the mind. They could remember yesterday's God, their God. They cried to him, they wanted to be delivered. God heard their cry, brought in a way, sent his servant to go and deliver them. They were supposed to go to the promised land. So they came out of Egypt. They entered into the wilderness. They could have gone into the promised land, but there was still a problem in their mind. Physically, the bodies were delivered from Egypt. They came out from Egypt. They were in the wilderness. They were no longer in there. So God can deliver you. He delivers that body. It has come. It's in the wilderness. But they had to be tried in the wilderness. If truly delivered. Yeah, but there was still a problem in the mind. A problem of unbelief. They were still remembering Egypt. So we see at some point, because God gave them the promise where they were supposed to go, a land flowing with milk and honey. They were supposed to take a few days just to get into there. But they had to wander 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Because of their thinking. Hallelujah. Amen. So some people can be delivered, maybe they can be called from the world. Somebody who was in the world, maybe a drunkard, maybe he was smoking there, doing different things. He has heard the word of God. Then they start coming to church. So others can be coming to church. Their bodies can move from their places where they used to be. The bodies start entering into the church building. They will be coming every Sunday. They can come maybe every Wednesday or every Friday when they are gathering. But then the mind is not yet delivered. Once they knock off on that Sunday, the revival has ended. Monday, they are back in the world. Pastor is not here. Deacon is not here. Then they are at liberty to do things of the world. That's a problem. Hallelujah. Amen. But the minds have to be transformed. As Romans chapter 12 tells us. Praise the Lord. Let's read it. Can start from let's start from verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And read this one.
Echo mweva mnyinane, ndempapata kumkumbusha kwa nesa, Tuleni mibiri yenu bulirambo wa mweo uwa mshiro uwa kutemu na lesa ekupepa kwenu kwa umupashi.
Praise the Lord. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Remember, we are talking about priesthood. It has to deal with sacrifice. A priest's duty is sacrifice. But we'll talk maybe more later on that one. So our bodies has to be presented as a living, lively, living sacrifice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we also remember that the Bible tells us that don't you know that you are the temples of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that you are the temples of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are the temples of God. So we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Meaning our lives, our attitudes, our behavior, our deeds should be acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed or fashioned to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we should not be conformed. We should not be fashioned after the man of the world. So we are coming from the world. We are coming from bondage. We are coming from Egypt. Now that we have been delivered out of
Egypt,
we should not be conformed to
Egypt.
But we should be transformed. Because we have come out of
Egypt.
We need to be transformed. Transformed how? By the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So our minds have to be renewed. And what is it that renews our minds? It is the word of God. Hallelujah. Being sanctified by the washing of water by the word of God. So it is the word of God that renews our mind. When our mind is renewed, then we can fulfill this part that follows on this verse. Says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And acceptable. and perfect will of God. So the mind has to be renewed for it to prove that which is good and that which is acceptable and which is the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Something that God is going to approve. Something that when you bring that sacrifice, that living sacrifice before God, it is going to be acceptable before God. Because God doesn't just get any sacrifice anyhow. The sacrifice that is being brought before God, it has to be acceptable. Hallelujah. So it's not just bringing the sacrifice. It's not just sacrificing. You leave your home, you come to church, you sing a song, but then when you sing that song, the song is stinking before God. It has to be an acceptable sacrifice before God. So for it to be acceptable, it has to follow the protocol. It has to follow the order that God has set. So we've got to be obedient to His word, His voice. Then you've got to keep His covenant. And if you are keeping the covenant of God, if you are obedient to the voice of God, your mind is not going to be in Egypt. Hallelujah. Because the voice of God has called you out of Egypt. Say, come out from there. But the devil is calling you back to Egypt. He said, come back to Egypt. God is saying, come out of Egypt. The devil is saying, come back to Egypt. But then he has given you a choice to choose. Which way are you going to go? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. So God watches. He is looking. We can't hide anything. Remember last Sunday we were talking about how God sees the secrets of the heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can't hide anything from God. And He's the one that who is proving that which is good, that which is acceptable, and that which is the perfect will of God. That's why we need to be obedient and submissive. As the Bible says, as men as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we've got to be led. So what is it that is leading you, my brother? What is it that is leading you, my sister? Is it the Spirit of God? Is it the flesh? Is it the devil? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to make a right choice.
Right.
We have been called to come out of Egypt. And when we are coming out of Egypt, we need to make a proper decision. But when the children of Israel were coming from Egypt, others, they just followed in the mixed multitude. They just saw, okay, Ruben, or maybe this John there was packed, they are following. This Toshi there has packed, is going. Oh, let me also carry my bag. I also have a bag. See somebody with a small spoken word book, and I read a nice testimony. I think even me, I can carry this spoken word book. So there was a mixed multitude. There are others who came out genuinely. But others, because others were going, so they had to go. That's why their mind was consistently remembering Egypt. They stayed in the wilderness for a long time, but Egypt was not erased from their mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God wants now to fulfill. He wants to give them the place which he had promised to give them. Then Moses sends the spies. Okay, you go and check the land which we have been promised. Go and see if it is good or bad. Go and see what is in there. Then they go. As they are going, others they still have Egyptian mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But others, they trusted God. They looked at the promise of God. They knew that the promise of God cannot fail. Regardless of whatever we find, the promise of God cannot fail. So when they entered there, all of them, they saw the place was nice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There were nice fruits there, the grapes, the pomegranates, nice things. And they really confirmed that, yes, indeed, this place is full of milk and honey.
It
can be a nice place to dwell in. But then they had to go back to go and give the report. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Let's just look at some few scriptures as we are reminding one another on this. Let's go to the book of Numbers. All right, so in our time we can read the whole chapter 13 and chapter 14. So I'll pick just some few verses. Yeah. So when they went to check the land, we can read first verse 25. Says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of
Israel,
and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So they went to bring back word. Oh, they brought a report. And we know that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So they went to give back the report of what was in their minds, what was in their hearts. Analyzing what they found there. And they said, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. Surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. See the report that you are bringing. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Kenites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan.
Okay,
then from these who are giving the report, we can see this report that comes out now. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And said, "Let us go up at once. And let's go and possess it. Let's go and get it. For we are well able to overcome it." Praise be to God.
Amen.
So this was Caleb. He's giving a report. Because as this went to spy, they saw what was there, they saw those giants who were there, then now they are giving a report. So they were giving a report according to how they were analyzing what they saw. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember, as believers, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. So there was a way they were visualizing what they found there. Did they find the promise that God gave them? Yes, they did. Found there were nice grapes there, there were figs, nice pomegranates, nice ones. A land flowing with milk and honey indeed. But then there were also other things to threaten them. Hallelujah. But if you know that the Lord has promised you, the Lord has given you a blessing, it doesn't matter what stands in your way. It can't defeat you. If you can stand on the promises of God, then you can get your blessing. You can get that promise that God has given you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But also takes your mind. As a man thinketh in his mind, so he is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, Joshua, there's a way he was thinking. Caleb, there was a way that he was thinking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. So him, he saw those giants. Yes, they were there. But he knew that there was somebody who was greater than those giants who was with them. Praise the Lord. So that's why he could steal the people down. He could cool them down. Says, "Let us go at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it." He knew his potential. That in the name of the Lord, they are able to overcome. They were looking small. Those others were looking big, but they knew that in the name of the Lord, they will be able to overcome. Though they looked small before the giants, they knew that in the name of the Lord, they were able to overcome. It's a mindset that David had. As we all know the story of David versus Goliath. David was looking small. Goliath was looking big. He was a giant. The brothers who were there, they feared. The people who were there, they were fearing. And Goliath was there threatening them, intimidating them. Then David remembered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He knew his capability. He knew his potential. He remembered when he was taking care of his sheep. When a lion came, he defeated it. When a bear came, he defeated it. He knew that the same God who delivered him from the power of a lion and from the bear, he was going to save him also from that Goliath. So I would be able to tell him that you are coming against me with those, with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. But I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So David knew that standing against Goliath in the name of the Lord, he was going to overcome. And he overcame. That's how he killed Goliath. What made him to kill Goliath? It was one, the mindset that he had. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If he saw himself to be like a small thing, then there's this giant, we are all gone as Israel. We are dead. But he looked at himself, he was looking small. But if he defeated the lion, defeated a bear, what would stop him defeat that in Goliath? He knew that the power of God was with him. He trusted the name of the Lord. And he killed Goliath in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So in the name of the Lord, we can overcome. It doesn't matter what problems that you can be having. No matter how giant it can be, how threatening it can be, in the name of the Lord, we are more than able to overcome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the mind.
Amano.
How are you thinking? We need to think right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So David thought right. Caleb also was thinking right. Now when we go to verse 32. Okay, from this 31. But the men that went up with him said, so it was almost like a mixed multitude also. They are going to spy. Others have got a vision and they know the God that they are serving. You got 10 or you got 12 of you. The two of you have sober mind. Then the majority, actually 10, their minds are corrupt. So, but the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So those who went with him, they were now looking, using the eyes of the flesh. When they look at that, they would feel paralyzed. Oh, these are stronger than us. We are not able to overcome them. The problem of Egyptian mind. They are used to be in slavery. God gives them a promise and still say, ah, oh, we can't do it. Those are big. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. Okay, so the reports are very important. They are coming from the abundance of the heart. So in their hearts, they were full of fear. They would feel intimidated. Even when they were offered a promise by God, they would not want to take a step. They were afraid. And they brought up an evil report. This report was bad. An evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we're going to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They are giving this report. So the land which they have gone to search, it is a land that eat up the inhabitants. You see, eating up the people that stay in there. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They were big people, the giants which were in there. Good. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. Amapaka. Which come on the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So it starts with their thinking. In our own sights, as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You see, so themselves, we are looking at themselves as grasshoppers. And those also, they could look at them as grasshoppers, because that's how they saw themselves. So you are what you think. If you think you are a failure, then even people see you as a failure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you are what you are thinking in your mind. So if we keep Egypt, or you'll be thinking you are a slave, you are in bondage. God liberates you, you don't want to go in freedom. You are still thinking the mind of Egypt. But we need to make a right decision. We need to change our thinking. Our minds have to be renewed. We've got to be transformed. When we are transformed, that's when we can give the right reports. So Joshua was transformed, Caleb was transformed. That's why they could give right reports. And they knew their potential, that they were more than able to overcome those giants. Amen. Praise be to God. So from the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. So Joshua, Caleb, what were in their hearts, that's what they could speak. And the others also, according to what they analyzed and what was in their hearts, that's what they could speak.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we know as children of God? As 2 Timothy tells us that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse
7.
So God did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind.
Okay,
so these others, they had attracted, they had entertained fear. So where fear is, there's no faith. And without faith, you can't get anything from God. But if your mind is thinking right, you are not going to entertain fear. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. God does not lead us to fear. But He has given us a spirit of love, power, and sound mind. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to His holy name. So those, because of their thinking, and the people were influenced, they died in the wilderness. Only those young ones who were born, and Joshua and Caleb, they are the ones who managed to go into the promised land. That's how bad negative thinking can be. It makes you lose that blessings of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So as we are winding up, let's read Philippians 4 verse 8 again. Regarding our thinking. Are we there? Okay. So I can read it. The Bible reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, so those are the things that we need to consider. So our thinking process, our thoughts, is very important. Because they determine the outcome of situations. So those other spies who went there because of their negative thinking and their negative reports, they did not enter into that promise. But those with the right mind, Joshua and Caleb, who were thinking about the right things, who gave a good report, they were allowed to enter because they didn't use the eyes of the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you come from Egypt, before you go to the promised land, this passing through the wilderness. And in the wilderness, that is a place of test. It's a place where you are being tried. Your mind is being tested to see if it will still remain trusting in the Lord. See if it will remain obedient to the voice of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when God says, I've given you, it means it's yours. God has given you, trust on his word, then you see the breakthrough. Last time we saw what Peter did after Jesus used the ship, and we know that Peter and those fishermen, they tried to work the whole night, they toiled, they couldn't catch fish. But then Jesus spoke something. He says, launch out into the deep for a catch. Then at some point, Peter was thinking in the flesh. So he thinks, but with my experience and the effort that I've put, I've toiled the whole night and I've caught nothing. But then he came back to his senses. Says, but at your word, I'll do it. I'll launch out into the deep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With his effort, with his physical strength, with his experience, the situation that day failed. So there are times certain things with your experience they'll fail. Certain things with your effort they'll fail. But when you stand upon the voice of God, you are led by the Spirit of God, things work out. And he managed to catch fish. And they caught a lot of fish. The ship were full and sinking. Because there's a lot of fish that was caught out of where there was nothing, because God makes a way where there seemeth not to be a way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So sometimes our strength is limited, our experience fails us. But the word of God does not fail. Amen.
Amen.
So let's obey the word of God. Let us be led by the Spirit of God. Then we can overcome. Leave the Egyptian mind. Because God doesn't want us to be thinking like that. Because those, when they started murmuring, they started thinking about Egypt. Why didn't we just maybe die in Egypt? Why should we come here? They were complaining, thinking of Egypt. It was still in their minds when they were in the wilderness. So, when we leave the world, let's leave the world completely. There has to be total separation with the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, I like that word in Bemba. I last heard some so many years ago on the copper bill. To kumpuirapo completely. Hallelujah. Praise be to God.
Amen.
There has to be total separation. There is no halfway coming to Christ. You have to come completely or fully. You die completely to the flesh. Die completely to Egypt. Amen. So don't just bring your body to church. It's a good thing that you come to church to attend service. But God also looks at your mind. Is your mind delivered? Because others, their bodies are still in bondage. Even when physically they have left Egypt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are told, stop smoking, stop taking alcohol, stop womanizing, stop stealing, stop maybe backbiting. So you just partially stopped. You stopped drinking just for some time. But in the mind, maybe your stopping was the pastor shouldn't see me, the deacon shouldn't see me. But in your heart, you haven't stopped taking alcohol. Meaning, when there's an opportunity when the pastor is not there, an opportunity where the deacon is not there, where a brother is not there, where a sister is not there, because you are still in bondage, you are still in Egypt, your body will come among the believers, but your mind is not delivered. So when you are alone there, you'll be drinking because you are not delivered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we've got to be willing to come and give, offer our lives as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice all things that you consider to be nice in Egypt, all things that were good, which are not acceptable before God. Leave them there in Egypt. Don't carry anything that is not acceptable before
God.
Our minds have to be transformed. The word of God has to renew our minds.
Amen.
If our minds are not renewed, we are in bondage. And why should we be in bondage when freedom has come? So there was that question on the scripture we read last time from Jeremiah. Is there no balm in Gilead? Why is the health of the daughters of my people not recovered? Is there no physician there? So we have the medicine. We have the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should you keep your sicknesses from Egypt? The behaviors which were in Egypt, why should you keep them? When there's medicine to make you stop the behaviors of Egypt, the problem is a mindset. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God says, come, let us reason together. Doesn't matter how your sins have been, how red they can be. God is saying, come, let us reason together. Make a right decision. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that those things which are of good report, they are the things that we should think about. Whatever things are true, those are the things that we should be thinking about. So that people should not be pointing a finger on you to say, that one, he does this and that, then it's found that is true. That brother, he steals. That brother, he's smoking. That brother, he drinks alcohol. They are pointing fingers at you. If they are pointing fingers at you, let it be a lie, not something that is true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we are there as priests. Let's just go back to Peter as we close now. We see what we read earlier on, what we've got to be. So, 1 Peter chapter 2. So now, we had started from verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. So we are a peculiar people. So if you are peculiar, they shouldn't be pointing fingers at you, say, that one is a thief and you are stealing, but you are coming to church as a believer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That ye should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay? So, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So identify yourself, identify who you are. When you know who you are, that you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, you are in that royal priesthood. The priest had a certain conduct that they were supposed to conduct themselves. They didn't just behave like any other common person. There's a way they were dressing. There's a way they were doing things. Because they were a peculiar people. And holy nation, that should show forth praises of him who hath called you. Praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So your life should be manifesting praises, should be a testimony. Your life should be a witness to confirm that God has called you out of darkness and brought you to his marvelous light. It should be a testimony. At some point you were in Egypt, you were in bondage, but God has delivered you from Egypt. Your mind has been transformed. So as you are walking, you are a living epistle, you are a letter. Hallelujah. So you are a letter, you are an epistle, a living epistle to be read of all men. When people look at your life, they should read the report. Your life should be giving a report that you are living a life that is pleasing, a life that is bearing praises of him who has called you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you are giving a false report, and the Bible has told us that we should do, look at the things, we should think at things, those things that are true. And then you are thinking about things that are false. Then you are giving a wrong report. You are thinking in a wrong way. But we need to think right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because our life should be manifesting glory as a loyal priesthood. So that we are bearing witness that we are lost at some point, but now we are found. Which in the time past we are not a people, but are now a people of God. So at some point we are not a people of God, but now that we have come to God, we should live as people who have come to God. We are in the light. At some point we had not obtained his mercy, but we should now live as people who have obtained the mercies of God. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Which war against the soul? Having your conversations honest among the Gentiles. You have seen earlier on in Ephesians, we are taught we need to think about these things that are honest. Peter also says this, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So our deeds, our lives, we need to be fruitful believers. When people look at us, the way we are living, they need to glorify God. Even if they were pointing fingers, they were saying evil things, but they should do, see the lives that we are living as a living testimony that we are serving that living God. Then they can glorify God by the lives that we are living. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the life, the character that we are living, it is very important. It's not just saying from the mouth that I'm a believer, I go maybe to believers assembly, I go to the end time message. Yeah, that is not enough. Our lives also should speak that we are born again. Our lives should speak that we are not of the world. Our lives should speak that we are not part of Egypt, but we have been delivered from Egypt. When people look at us, let them glorify God. We should not be a reproach. Hallelujah. Because God is looking for those people whom when he looks at, he is not ashamed to call them their God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, I'm serving the living God, and God is ashamed of you. Hey, how about you? Look what you're doing. It shouldn't be like that. Our lives should be a good testimony. People should see God through our lives. Amen. So we shall continue by the grace of God some other time to go and talk about this further. So I thought of just awakening each other on especially on the aspect of Egypt. Then we can build on that. We go further in the royal priesthood. So let's remember who we are. And let's not be taken by the things of the world. Our lives, let them be that living epistle, that living book, to be read of all men. And when they read, shouldn't end there. They need to glorify God. Praise the Lord. And you shouldn't be a suspect when they say, there's somebody in Believers Assembly whom we found was drinking. People even know, it's Brother Chite. We found somebody who was caught in fornication. Maybe it was Sister Chite. You shouldn't be that suspect. Hallelujah. We need to raise the standards.
Amen.
When we talk about sister so and so, we should see a sister in Christ. When they talk about brother so, it should be we see a brother in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So by their fruits you shall know them. So we can't hide our fruits, they will manifest. So as they are manifesting wherever we are, whether at church, at home, in schools, at work, wherever we go, let them bear a witness that we are born again. Praise the Lord. May the Lord God Almighty bless you. We can rise up to our feet. Amen.